meeting at 2 p.m. Before we begin, I acknowledge that we're meeting on Noongar Ngarrindjeri land. Pay respects to the original custodians, past, present, and future, and welcome you all to the meeting. In accordance with regulations, I give notice that this meeting is being audio recorded to facilitate community participation and organisation purposes. Being present, there are no members of the public, but they give their consent to the meeting being recorded. So the attendance, I think, is pretty much as written. We do have Jen and Trish as apologies. And of course, Councillor Stacey has a leave of absence, so I think that's pretty much as written. Item 3 on page 6, there are no members of the public here and there are no questions. Similarly, there are no deputations and I believe there are no applications for leave of absence that we've received. So that takes us to item 6, declarations of interest. Received anything to acknowledge? If anyone realises they have an interest during the meeting, just let us know. Confirmation of minutes and business arising. May I have a mover or minutes, please?
Councillor Stacey was listed as having his absence for the 27th of April.
Thank you. May I have a second? Councillor Gough, I think, got in first with that one. And if there are no voices to the contrary, I will count that as carried. Is there any business arising from those minutes that anyone would like to discuss? Good. So now we move on to the receival of committee minutes with no recommendation. And the first one on page 11 is the wrap meeting, I believe. Yes, it is. Has there already been a discussion before the meeting about these minutes? Did we get the wrong minutes or is there a typo on the dates? The copy of the minutes I had on page 1 and 2, it says the meeting is held on the 12th of March, and on page 7 it says the next meeting will be the 16th of April.
Correct. So those minutes were, through the chair, those minutes were not available at the March meeting, so we're receiving them now.
Okay. And
similarly, the April minutes were not available for the time of this meeting, so that...
Gotcha. Okay, thank you for that. Time. That's a very good explanation, which somebody mentioned, but I haven't fully completed.
Through the chair, it was because the meetings were postponed.
Okay. All right. Well, good. So we are moving that these minutes be received. So may I have a mover for that?
I will, Chair. Just noting that the confirmed minutes at that meeting weren't the 15th of March, but the 2nd of October 24.
That just seems to be... Yeah. Through the chair, it's in the... It's a continual... issue that we're trying to resolve.
Okay.
So to update that in the agenda.
No worries. Thank you very much. And a seconder, please. Thank you very much. And again, if there are no voices to the contrary, this one will take it as carried. Now we move to 8.2, which is the BFAC meeting. I don't have any notes on that. Is everyone happy to receive those minutes? No questions? Very good. May I have a mover for that, please? Thank you, Councillor Fulton, a seconder. Thank you, Councillor Hayes. And if there are no voices to the contrary, we will take that as carried. Item 9. So these are recommendations to receive minutes with recommendations, if that makes any sense. So first of all, on page 13, may I have a mover that Council receive the minutes of the Local Emergency Management Committee. Thank you, Councillor Castle. And a seconder, please. Councillor Fulton, any voices to the contrary? We take that as carried with us. Okay. And
Councillor to council.
I'm not sure if I should bring it up here or in the later. There's talk in both the BFAT and this one about the food handling and mention of a food handling certificate. And I think the general public might need more information on that because I'm aware of at the Wandering Fire, people turned up with food to give to the boys on the ground and it was refused because it had come just from your house as a tomato sandwich.
Okay.
And therefore wasn't. And I think we're going to need some clarification on that because a lot of people went hungry and thirsty because no one could get to them.
Councillor, I think we might discuss that if possible during the concept forum because it'll be part of the discussion of what happened in the meeting because there were issues as well when the fire in Corrigan. And
I just wasn't quite sure where to bring it up, but I just wanted to.
And maybe we could clarify some active words and or something like that.
Something.
All right, so we'll talk about that then.
Yeah.
Okay, so now is everyone happy with this relief and support plan that is attached to the minutes? Now it's page 4 of 18, well it's in the plan minutes, or it's on page 20 of this agenda. Are you all comfortable with that? Before I actually move this motion on page 14, Will mentioned the grammar is a little strange. It keeps talking about communities is, like communities is a singular noun, and I wondered if there's an explanation for that. I would have written communities are responsible, communities do this, but.
Sure, I had a similar concern and this worked out it was probably Department of Communities was referring to.
Okay, so they saw the department.
It would have been a lowercase c. Can I just also check, did we move the minutes of the LEM meeting?
Did we not move that just now?
Yes, we did.
Yes, thank you. Yes, fantastic. Very good. And so now we are accepting this recommendation. Councillor Hayes.
The proposed plan?
That's exactly right, yes. So it's on page 14 and the motion reads that the Local Emergency Management Committee recommend to Council, Council endorse the Local Emergency Relief and Support Plan, which, as I said, it appears a little bit later on in this agenda and it is also attached to the minutes which we've all received.
The committee of that meeting were keen for the updates to be made to our section. I just wonder if they have.
The names and the addresses and telephone numbers, are you referring to those?
Not so much.
Okay.
The content of the evacuation centres. I'd suggest that we add showers to the community building attributes and delete the mention of showers in the town hall section to avoid confusion. Can I ask what ability there is for a generator at the community building? That's in brackets, so I presume that it's that's a query.
The current one at the generator at the town hall is skid mounted, and there is a hookup at the community building, so there is the capacity to move over there.
Great. So whether the brackets need to be there, does that create confusion? Have the bowling club and the CRC been consulted as possible? Evac centres and run any scenarios by them?
Through Chair, I don't think today.
Okay.
But certainly through Chair with John Sadia says that's his plan.
Okay.
Yes.
Cool. And going on from there, I wonder if their inclusion should be included in the MOUs/agreements with those organisations so it's, we're reminded regularly.
Mm-hmm.
Because we may not have an emergency for a long time. Thank you.
So is it possible to move this motion subject to those amendments, or shall we just move the motion and then put the amendments in? Is that a good idea?
Yeah, happy with that.
Yes.
Happy to move that.
Thank you. A seconder, please. Thank you, Councillor Horton. I will ask for a show of hands on this one. All those in favour? That is 6-0. Five. So confusing. One of the motions further down, I think, needs an absolute majority. That'll be challenging. Okay. Item 10, which is on page 33, is a blank, so we don't need to worry about that one. Now, item 11, matters of consideration, finance and audit, and the first one is basically the schedule of accounts, and I don't think I need to read these all out, but before I ask for a mover, does anyone have any questions on the accounts?
Chair, not so much a question, but just would like it noted that there's an ATO payment for general interest charges and late payment fees, and request that unless there's a strategic reason for this, that we ensure it's avoided in the future. It's over $6,000. Thank you.
Yes, I don't have any questions. I noticed that roll there in there, but that's all with the budget, I think, so that's fine. So, if there are no further questions, may I have a move for this motion? Thank you, Councillor Hayes. A seconder, please. Councillor Castle. All those in favour, please raise your hands. This will signify nil. All right, so 11.2 is the monthly financial statements. I would like to make an observation that we are now in the ninth month of the year, and so you'd sort of expect the, you know, we track towards the budget. We're getting pretty close to the budget, and I'll make my comment after everyone else. Does anyone else have any comments to make? Okay, so on page 77 of the accounts, so we're going to page 77. So, if you look at the charts in the lower half of the page, on income, we're doing pretty well. And on expenditure, again, we're not above budget, we're very close to budget. The capital items, and I know there are reasons for this because Trish has explained many times that you know, it's difficult, the timing of capital items, but I do notice we're only halfway towards the line on revenue and not very close to expenditure. Just an observation. Good. Anyone else have any observations or thoughts? And okay, that's absolutely fine. So we haven't got Trish here, so let's move the motion. If you like.
Well, so the IMS portal, what they call the IMS portal, so the roads to recovery, how we actually get the roads to recovery funding from the federal government, has been down for a few weeks.
Okay.
It is now being rectified, so we're in the process of submitting the project and getting the money back from them, which will then allow us to pay some of the sealing contractors and the stabilising contractors and those sort of things. So that line should raise a sharp point shortly.
Very good. Yeah,
and through the chair, there were a couple of orders that Trish was working on that had an extra layer because they had to go to the OMG as well, which in the past they've not had to. So
okay.
It's just taken an extra few months to finalise that paperwork to submit it for the funding to be reimbursed.
Alright, thank you for that. That's good.
Cash flow management.
At least we're below budget, not way over budget. That's a relief. So may I have a mover for this motion, please? Councillor Fulton, just ahead of Councillor Castle, would you be with us? Second, Councillor Castle. And Mayor, ask for votes. All those in favour, please raise your hand. That's 5-0. Very good. Okay. So, the next one is item 12. Page 106, governance and administration. And the first one is Councillor Fees, and there are actually two recommendations here. One is talking about everyone, and one is talking about the deputy. So, are there, first of all, any questions or comments on either of these items?
that case, I will ask for a mover for recommendation one, which I think is pretty self-explanatory. Thank you, Councillor Hayes. A second now. Councillor Fulton. All those in favour, please raise your hand. That's 5-0. Now, we're all allowed to vote on this, even though it involves us because we're a group. But this second item, Officer Recommendation 2, only affects the deputy. Do you want me to leave the room, or what's the story on that?
That's very interesting.
Financial interest.
So we can still reach the absolute majority with four of the rooms.
Okay. Yes. In that case, I think I will back out because it's only one person and it's something new. So, are you able to take the meeting? And thank you. I'll be back.
So, Officer Recommendation 2 is that Council for the 2025-26 financial year set the Deputy President's allowance at 25% of the Shire President's allowance, or $296 per annum.
If you'd like to, I can. So, the thought behind putting this Officer Recommendation in was that during Councillor Athol Coates' presidency with Councillor Stacey as the Deputy Shire President, I did notice that he spent a lot more time on council business than he would have, or like the other councillors did. And I was wondering then why there was no Deputy President's allowance, considering there was an allowance made for that in the SAT recommendation. I had a look at that while preparing this agenda paper, and as it's not a large amount and can certainly be accommodated in the budget, I saw no reason why we shouldn't have that allowance.
That's good. In the instance of the deputy chairing today, does he get paid the Shire President's council meeting fee, or would he get a normal attendance fee?
I will have to take that on notice. I was meant to look that up before this meeting, but I didn't get around to it. I'm not set on the per meeting, attending per meeting, but I did read that as per the Shire President's allowance, in the case of the Shire President not being able to go about their normal business, the deputy is only eligible for that President's allowance after 4 months of carrying out the President's business.
So if your President had taken a large leave of absence for whatever reason, then they would step up and get the financial proportion of that as well.
After 4 months, so within that 4 months, they wouldn't.
Oh, so the first 4 months, nothing?
Yeah.
Okay, that seems a little unfair. That's quite a large time.
Hence the recommendation to have an allowance for the deputy.
Because previously the deputy's really just been a spare, haven't they? But of recent times they've stepped up and been far more interactive. I'm happy with that recommendation.
That's been carried in favour of 4-0.
That's very kind of you.
Look, yeah, just for the record, I think it's, you know, one day there might be younger people doing this job, people with kids and stuff like that. So maybe for us it doesn't make much difference, but I think we need to think of the future. Other people. Anyway, that's cool. Don't know what you even talked about, but there you are. Next, the drug and alcohol policy. So on this one, I'd like to establish that everyone is comfortable with what's been written and followed what's being said in the agenda. I actually put a second pair of glasses on because it was quite difficult working out where the whole policy ended and the new one began. I presume everyone probably has better eyesight than I do and could work that out faster. But may I ask if there are any thoughts or comments about what we're doing?
Chair, only thought is that this is an excellent arrangement.
Okay, very good. Any other councillors? Thoughts? Look, it's not me to tell you guys how to write reports. I noticed testing was removed from the title of the new policy, but the very first line of the very first paragraph mentions testing. And for me, the policy is that you're not allowed to work or represent the Shire under the influence of alcohol or drugs. And I would have liked to see that front and centre. I quite like the preamble of the original document, where you just had a paragraph saying, well, this is why we've got the policy, and then you talk about how you enforce the policy afterwards. It's just a thought. And, yes, just a thought for that one. Anyone else? Have made a comment from the executive on that one?
Well, if you would like us to rework the policy, we can certainly do that. If you would like to postpone a decision on that until we can present a new draft, we can do that.
Well, I don't want to influence other people, but I would personally feel more comfortable if there was something explicit, but this is the policy, and this is the enforcement procedure. Councillor Hayes, are you happy with that?
I'm happy with the new drug and alcohol policy.
Councillor Gorman?
I'm happy if you want to rewrite it.
I think the title says enough. It's a drug and alcohol policy. That should tell you what you need to know. My only issue is with this modern wording of non-negative. You either returned a positive test or you didn't.
Okay.
Not a double negative.
The only thing that I was concerned about, you know how you got your opioids and stuff? Well, they can't be operating heavy machinery on those anyway.
They shouldn't.
Driving all machinery. But then they can sign a letter stating that they have to take those pain relief, but are we letting them still operate stuff on that pain relief?
It's an interesting question.
And then they can't just say, like get caught with it and go, oh, but that's my pain relief.
Interesting thought.
Through the chair, all staff need to list their medication, their own medication,
nature.
And you can't, if you're called for testing, you can't say, I forgot to fill out the form and state your medication at that time. You need to make sure that you're medical.
But yeah, if they have listed, say, I don't know, you know, a decent pain killer, and they're driving the roller or they're on the loader, or, you know, they're not supposed to be operating any heavy machine or vehicles.
It will be at the direction of the doctor, so if they're on the heavy pain relief, they would probably have some other intervening medical certificate needing that to be disclosed before the work situation.
Yeah. If I may, one other question, and that is, you said in the policy, planning to test everyone at least once a year. Is that practical? It doesn't? Okay. Well, look, I think the consensus seems to be, thank you, Councillor Gold, for your
support, but I am going to ask for a mover for the motion, because I think that's the procedure that we go through, and if people want to vote against it, so they can do. So may I have a mover for this motion? Councillor Hayes. Seconder, please. Councillor Carswell. And by a show of hands, as for those who support the policy, to raise their hands. That's three votes in favour, all those against. So that is carried, that motion, because it doesn't require an absolute majority. If you have our thoughts and comments on the record, I'm sure you can bear them in mind for the future. Fantastic. All right, very good. This one should be easier. It is a request to initiate the review of local laws. So all we're doing here is initiating a lengthy process. Does anyone have any questions on that? All right. I'm sure probably some of this will come up in the concept forum or will be discussed in greater detail, maybe at workshops or whatever. So for the time being, may I have a move for this motion? Thank you, Councillor Hayes. A seconder. Thank you, Councillor Fulton. All those in favour, please raise your hand. That's carried 5-0. Staff housing policy. Any questions or thoughts? My only thoughts on this one is that we tie in our policy with the lease agreement. So, for example, there is a reference in the policy to the fact that the house will be inspected, okay, before the tenant moves in. Now, the standard lease agreement has property condition report, which must be signed by the landlord and the tenant. And I'm wondering whether that should be written into the policy, just so it's consistent. You will always complete a property condition report and get it signed by the tenant. That's a thought. And the other thought I had was you have to put a term of the lease. Now, in our policy, if they stop working for us, we might ask them to go. So somewhere I would say in the lease, and again, it doesn't have to be written formally in the policy, but as a matter of practice, I would make sure that when you sign the lease, it's a periodical lease, and maybe put a clause in there that it can be terminated if the employee moves on. I think normally with periodical leases, the expectation is the landlord will only terminate if he wants to sell the property or renovate the property or carry out major works on the property. And it might possibly be challenged, therefore, in court if we just said, nah, we want you to move out because you've stopped working for us. If you had a difficult tenant, just a thought. But I don't think you need to reword the policy, but if you wanted to put something, you could do. Any other councillors have any comments on that? It's mentioned there, but it's got to be written into the lease as well. I just wondered whether explicitly it could be written into the policy that the lease is consistent with the policy. All right, may I have a mover for this motion? Thank you, Councillor Castle. A seconder. Thank you, Councillor Fulton. Show of hands, please, all those in favour. It's carried 5-0. Very good. So, on page 204, health and building, there are no matters for consideration. And now we are on page 205, works and services. And do we normally ask for questions on this one before we move the motion? So, are there any questions for our manager of works and services? Nothing. Okay, very good. May I have a mover for the motion, please? Everyone's getting tired. Thank you, Councillor Castle. And a seconder. Thank you, Councillor Hayes. Show of hands, please, all those in favour. That's carried 5-0. Speaking of that. On page 224,
health and safety, there are no matters, which is fantastic. Item 16, urgent councillors of business. Anyone there to very good. Then we'll move on to item 17, our confidential items. So now we have to move across to the confidential report. Am I allowed to say right at the beginning? Is the motion? It's in the motion. Let's go to the report. Oh yes, may I have a moment to close the meeting? So I thank Professor Hayes. Thank you, Professor Castle. Now we can move across to the okay, so this is now reported in a different way.
In a second.
Oh, okay.
And as you know, when the official one has finished, and the other one has started.
For the tape, but a motion was passed that council writes off debts as listed in a confidential report, a total of $1,744. Very good. We're now back in the main agenda, and we are, I think, on item 18. Which is the next meeting date, and it's scheduled to take place on Thursday, the 29th of May, in the Council Chambers, 10 Chapel Road. Item 19, is the closure of the meeting, and I close the meeting at 2:35 p.m.
Thank you.
That wasn't too early.